Welcome to the Creatives Experience Podcast, hosted by yours truly, Isaac Whedon. On each episode, I will be speaking with artists and bringing you in on their life, faith, and creative experience. I'm excited for you to be joining us today. Thank you for listening. So without further ado, let's get to it. This week, you're going to hear from Celis Hamilton. We're going to be chopping it up about marriage, sex, hip-hop culture, being vulnerable, and staying true to what God is calling you to do. You guys are going to love this one. Hey guys, thanks so much for tuning into this week's episode. I have the pleasure to introduce to you a friend that I've made through the internet. He's a very, very talented individual. His name is Celis, but without me sharing too much about him, Celis, if you don't mind introducing yourself and just letting the people know something about yourself, bro.
Yeah, man. First off, man, thank you so much for having me, dude. This is a pleasure. Honor meeting you and getting a chance to hear your heart. I'm just a hip-hop artist, man, serving God, dude. I'm from Atlanta, living in New York now, which was a straight faith move for me, and just kind of navigating this very, you know, extremely filled and saturated hip-hop market and trying to make sure that my voice is clearly heard for God and what I believe he wants me to say to the generation. So that's pretty much a little bit about me, man.
Amen. That's awesome, bro. And just so people have a 100% note, you are Celis Hamilton. Is that correct?
Yes, sir. Celis Hamilton.
Awesome. Yep. So if people want to check you out, that's where you guys find him. So I ran into you on Instagram. I was checking out music and just through the vine of talented Christian artists, I ran into you and I was just very inspired by your taste and sound, and just, you have a very unique voice, bro. And so within your craft, you said you're from Atlanta, correct? Mm-hmm. And you now are in New York City.
Yep.
What was that prompt? Like what prompted you? Cause you mentioning that you came out there to be a part of the, would you say hip hop community, or what's the main reason why you left? Cause you said it's a faith move. What was the inspired faith move to get out there?
For me, it was, you know, Atlanta, even still to this day, has probably one of the most popping hip hop scenes, I would say, in the country. Like, it's become, for a couple years in the past, of course, it was like New York that had a sound and a stable, but it hasn't came and returned to New York in a while. So for me to leave that scene and go to a place where it wasn't really doing as well as where I was at was strictly a God thing, because I knew nothing about New York. I didn't have any family there. And at the time, even Atlanta seemed to have a strong Christian hip hop circle as well, which of course was more of my lane. So, but for me, it was really going to uncharted territory and trying to build something from scratch, because sometimes when you're from a certain place in a certain city and you've been doing things for so long, your hometown doesn't really take you serious and they don't offer you the support that you really need. So people there haven't seen me rap since I was 8 years old, and being the young guy who was doing shows around the city, always for God. Growing up, it was kind of this idea like he's going to rap forever and we don't really know if we need to take him serious or support him or go to any events, because he's been doing this for so long and he's got it on his own. And the support that I needed from my own city was very imperative to my growth, because if you don't get your city behind you, no other cities or surrounding areas are going to want to gravitate to you as well, because revival is always going to start in your hometown. And, you know, so I pretty much just knew that God was calling me to go to a new city, kind of start over completely from scratch, do a lot of rebranding.
Wow.
I just went to New York, man, and just followed him there and just started trying to get it popping in New York.
Awesome, bro. And so you just recently also got married, correct?
Yep.
Fantastic.
2.5 months ago now.
Praise God. Fresh indeed. Awesome, bro. Yo, it's so cool, man, that we are having young artists, you know, committing their lives to a unity in marriage. And I myself just got married. This September will be 2 years. So I'm very much so in the fresh walk with this with you, man. And it's such an honor to be, thank you, bro. It's such an honor to be able to give God glory through relationship, you know, through a unity within marriage, man. It's one of the best decisions I've made. You know, aside giving my life to Christ being the best one,
sure,
marriage is just beautiful, bro. And so were you married when you had left Atlanta, or like, were you already with your girl? Did she move with you, or did you meet her in New York?
Yo, so what's crazy is me and her have only known each other for 2 years.
Wow.
And we're already married.
Crazy.
I've been living in New York for 2.5.
Crazy, man.
But I had no prospects at the time when I left Atlanta. I had nobody on my radar. Marriage was the furthest thing from my mind. I always, just being a Christian and just knowing that marriage is a way that we display, you know, Christ marriage with his church, I always aspired marriage and always felt that I'd be married young and for sure in my 20s. But at the time when I was coming to New York and really just focusing on my career, it was like in the back part of my mind. So,
sure.
Yeah.
Crazy, man. Because when, you know, when you are pursuing art, for example, it's a over-consuming thing, you know, like you pour your 100% all into it. And so when it comes to pursuing love, for example, it can be something that's just kind of pushed to the side where, you know, a lot of people won't see that as something that will help propel your career, you know?
Man, but everybody says, to that point that you're saying, everybody says that in a way, it's like you slowing down and giving up your career. Mm-hmm. They don't think you can really do both. And I think
it's actually false.
The opposite. It's completely false. Yeah. Yeah.
And I think of all the single artists out there who have yet to have the opportunity to get married, if that is something that they hope for in the future. Marriage is not for everybody. I do have to say that. Mm-hmm. But within, you know, marriage, dude, I wouldn't be the man I am today if it wasn't for my wife. You know, like I don't know where, dude, I'd probably, honest to God, bro, I'd be in jail. I'm 100% serious, bro. Before I moved back to Chicago to be with who is now my wife, Claudia, man, I was living in Arizona. I lived there only for a year. My family still lives out there. But dude, I had completely surrounded myself with people who were just doing whatever they pleased. Mm-hmm. And that is a very dangerous circle to put yourself into. And so, man, my friends, right after I left, man, my two best friends ended up getting incarcerated because of drugs and just stupidity, bro. And I was right in the middle of all that, you know, and Christ saved me from that mess. But within all that, bro, I think about it, man, if it wasn't for my wife, I genuinely think I'd be in jail. And then all the hopes and dreams and ideas of even pursuing music and art, which wasn't even in my head in the first place, you know, that wouldn't have come to fruition, man. So I do believe that the gift God has available for people in regards to marriage, in regards to a union of two to become one, man, that can become something powerful. Because your ministry, right? Your ministry within music, within art, stuff like that, this is also her ministry. This isn't Absolutely. Just you, you know?
Which was scary for me, mm-hmm. which I got to speak to how scary for me that is, because someone in my shoes who's been doing music, you know, pretty much their whole life and not having to share with anyone had fostered such a sense of ownership and a sense of like, I don't really have to answer to anybody as far as my creative mm-hmm. ideas go. And, you know, these 2 months that I've been married now, when I tell you productivity wise, like I've released more content, I've done more interviews, I've done more just videos for my YouTube channel. Like she's helped me boost my productivity in a way that I never could have on my own, just because Praise of simply God. Her staying on me, keeping me accountable and reminding me like, hey, God's put this vision in your head and you can't sit around and wait for it to get done by itself.
That's right.
And also just having to share and realize the fact that I can be so selfish and wanting to have all my ideas to myself, but now I have someone to bounce ideas off of and who actually can tell me, no, that's not a good idea, or that's, you know, what's your purpose with that? It just kind of questioned my intent. So it's really, you know, I feel like I'm in a sharper and better place because not everything is through my own filter anymore, which I think is powerful for any creative artist to have.
That's good, bro. And then within adding to that, that just kind of amplifies the importance of our need as, you know, disciples of Christ for community, right?
For sure.
Where this is the closest level of human community you can obtain. And is marriage, right?
Yeah.
And my wife, absolutely, man. So I'm somebody who, man, I just love to talk. And I always talk about what I hope to do, what I want to do, what my plans are, what my goals are, way ahead of me doing them. But I'm just saying, oh, I plan on doing this. I plan on doing this. And there came a point where my wife's just like, dude, quit talking and just do it. Like, I'm sick and tired of you talking about it. When are you going to get it done? You know? And it's just like, wow,
that's real.
Okay. Yep. I really needed that, you know? And so for all of you guys listening who are not married and who have yet to walk into that, man, we just want to encourage you guys. It is beautiful. Marriage is something that, man, it can mold you as a man or woman into maybe the man or woman that God has designed you to be, but you needed that accountability, that extra dose, the extra push of love to bring you to where God hopes for you to be.
Definitely. Praise God. Praise so God, true. Man.
And so you just recently, on your wedding day, correct? You dropped an album, Washing Her Feet.
Yeah, man.
Super. So to kind of tell everybody a little bit about the album, kind of where it's a very unique album. I do believe this is the topic and background behind the album is something that is very under mentioned in the community of believers and especially in the married community, which is something that I believe the world has overly taken advantage of and caused the body of Christ to be silent on these topics. Therefore, there being teenagers and kids growing up and even young adults who don't have anywhere else to go about the stuff other than the world. So kind of just break down a little bit about your album that you just dropped.
Yeah, man, dude. The way that we're even flowing in this is just God right now, because
Jesus, bro, amen.
Yo, he's all over it, because you know me, I wanted to make sure that I told my story in an authentic way, because me and my now wife were pursuing purity, and we were making sure that we had people around us to keep us accountable, but also to, you know, prepare us for the journey ahead that we were walking into, which was marriage. Mm. And anytime I'm working on a project, I feel like art is best received whenever it is authentic to your season and your story, because people can recognize real. That's what they cling to. My favorite songs are from the songs that I listen to when I'm like, man, I can actually visualize this person going through it, and I can hear their experience through their voice and through the sounds and the music. So for me, it only made sense to talk about that season, and also to just have a sense of reclaiming this concept of sex that has been stolen from the church. Number one, you know, the whole concept of a marriage was created by God. This was God's idea. This wasn't a human idea.
Right.
And so I firmly believe that it's a blessing for anybody to desire marriage, because at some point there is a very small understanding that community and having someone that you have to sacrifice and love on whatever level, you understand that, like, that is a healthy desire and a healthy understanding for you to understand that you want that community around you forever. And I wanted to make clear that marriage is not just something that we jump into without understanding that it is a covenant, meaning that somebody's got to die for this to be over. And everybody in culture now, we see marriages, and they're particularly in the church, which is what's so sad, shows that we're the people who, of all things that we preach, claim to understand covenant and claim to understand unconditional love and never failing love. And we're the ones who are not leading the charge and the example anymore, as far as that this is a covenant, which means that we are in this despite how we feel, that once we enter into this, that we are going to do whatever it takes to fight for this. And I believe that there are a lot of children and a lot of people who are growing up in families that have a struggle to believe in God and see him as a father and to see him as someone who loves them unconditionally and who will never leave them, because the examples that they were supposed to have with their parents and in their families only show them the opposite. And so when you're growing up and you're trying to go to a church that's telling you God will never leave you, but every example of relationship in your life has been people who left each other after making that same promise,
powerful,
it's really hard for you to believe that God is going to be anything different than what you've seen.
Especially when marriage is supposed to be the direct reflection of the love that Christ has for his church.
Direct reflection. And so, you know, I really had an anger when I thought about what I was seeing. And it also gave me a sense of responsibility with what I was walking into, because it was like, okay, you know, I've got a platform that the Lord has blessed me with. And now people who have seen me navigate through my single season are now going to have the opportunity to see me enter into a whole new season. And I would be leading them wrong and doing them an injustice if I don't clearly let them know that I understand what marriage is. I'm not entering into this lightly, but I'm also not entering into this with fear. And you know, it was just me kind of just taking a big stab at culture in so many ways, just in the diversity, and the ethnic differences between us, and just kind of where I come from and how we're so different, but also just showing that in the same way that you said, it's the direct representation between Christ and the church, you know, He marries all of our differences and all of our baggage and all of those things that would otherwise keep us separate from Him. But His love endures all of that. So I just put that in the music, dude. And I took risk. I fasted for 40 days, me and my fiance at the time. She was with me as I was writing this and making sure that we told our story genuinely and authentically. And
so she helped you write the album.
Yo, this was the first time I ever had somebody, you know, really that I was leaning on, like, who could tell me, nah, rewrite that. And I actually would listen, which was powerful for me, because the Lord was teaching me, you know, in marriage, we hear so much of that the world has put a bad taste in people's mouth when they hear the word submission, period. So people hate that word, but it's actually, when it's done right, when it's two people submitting to each other, loving each other, there's never any control, there's never any manipulation. Right. And so we were practicing that through writing this album. And it would be things that I'd write and I'd share with her, and she'd like, I think you can flesh that out a little more, or, you know, maybe that's a little shallow. Maybe you should talk deeper, add some more scripture to that. Like, and it was just a refining process for the album for me that I never had before on any of my previous works. And I feel like she helped me create a masterpiece that was authentic to our journey and just what I wanted to share with the culture at the time.
That's beautiful. A true collaboration.
True collaboration.
Which is essentially what marriages, right?
That's like, what it right? is.
For let's correlate that. Let's correlate that with art now, right? So, right. So do you produce as well, or do you just write and rap?
I produce as well, but okay, cool. I don't produce on my own stuff anymore.
Okay, cool. So, all right, let's just put it in this aspect then. So, if we were to have a track together, right, for all the writers out there, for us to collaborate on something, correct me if I'm wrong, because I don't do too much collaboration. I do hope to in the coming weeks and months. But for the other fellow writers and rappers and producers we got out there, when it comes to collaboration, I believe, and like I said, correct me if I'm wrong, I believe there needs to be a focus point, like an end goal, a clear target as to what you're creating. And both of you have to be on the same page. It's not necessarily, hey, I want you to feature on my track, and then somebody just writes whatever, and then you have to accept that. So,
doesn't it sound like people do that sometimes?
I mean, like, I feel that's what happens. I listen to some tracks sometimes. I'm just like, or even like, all right, for worldly music, for example, that's in the industry today. Man, you hear some of these verses, it's like, bro, that had nothing to do with the song.
Yeah, sounds or like nothing like to do with the he topic. Had a verse that was waiting, sitting around for another song. He never used it. He threw it on somebody else's song.
And it's just like, oh, but it's the name. So I want to gain the data.
Right.
So I'm going to sacrifice the message.
I'm so anti, you know, and I think that's one of the things that is kind of radical in this culture, because I feel like the Instagram social media world has made us all so much clout chasers that we sacrifice a lot of our own integrity. Because we'll look at it like, man, if I can get a cosign, or if I can get a follow or a post from you know, such and such, then I'm good, because it's going to increase my brand. But I look at everything that I'm attached to as something that needs to be led by God. And so the difficult things are when you're in those spaces where you have opportunities to do big things and to receive, you know, a lot more fans, but you know God's not leading it. And those are the moments where you really find out a lot about, you know, how much you really love Him and serve Him. Because if we're willing to, in the name of getting more followers and getting more fans and more recognition, sacrifice our lifestyle for God and Him being Lord, then it says something very scary about our music and particularly just our walk.
Mm.
Yeah. And I gotta say, man, within these last few weeks, bro, God's just very clearly laid out for me that just because I've been given a gift to create, it doesn't give me the authority to create without him.
Sheesh.
Does that make sense? Sheesh. And it's really hard to swallow, bro. And it really rocked me, man, because I'm just like, but God, I'm still making it for you. You know, it's like, I'm still mm-hmm. making songs about you. I'm still writing lyrics about you to give your name glory. And all that's great and dandy. You know what I'm saying? But the difference in regards to having spirit-led art and having flesh-led art is different, you know? And
spirit-led art takes time. Yeah. And we don't usually want to give it that time.
Yeah, and I'm very impatient. And so God's been,
same.
God's just been revealing me like, yo, dude, it's not about... And like I've been mentioning on other podcasts, I'm just super... I love reaching goals, bro. I love like setting out for something. I'll like write out things I got accomplished for the day and I'm just going to shoot to get them done, you know? And yeah. I tend to not allow God to sometimes tell me, hey, bro, this isn't ready yet, or this isn't going to come out anytime soon, or I just want you to sit on this for a while for another season, you know? And having the humility to just accept that and make sure you are in a prayerful mindset when you do create, when you do make things, so that you're not stepping out of your lane.
Yeah, that's key.
Yeah. Wow,
super,
man.
Key.
Praise God. So I would say that we are a part of a generation of people who it's a new thing. I believe this is a new thing happening. You know, it's only been happening for a few, I don't know, 10, 20 years now, where maybe even less than that, where I would say the younger generation is having the audacity to create and just put it out there because of the mm-hmm. beauty of the internet and things like that. You know, we got YouTube and Instagram and SoundCloud, and now you could have, you know, DistroKid or TuneCore or whatever, and you could just upload music like for $20, you get it on iTunes and stuff. I mean, it's crazy. You know what I'm saying?
Crazy, yeah.
And so it's an honor to be a part of this new wave of Christian artists. And I'm super excited to see what God's going to be doing, because for those who are truly submitting to the authority and the headship of Jesus, I believe that we will all be on the same page, because in the New Testament, it talks about us all being in one accord, one spirit, one mind, you know? And when I think about that, man, it's just like, bro, I've had the opportunity to talk with some amazing people such as yourself, and I just can't help but see the similarity in goals, the similarity in passion, the similarity in God just like creating this unison within the focus for so many artists that it's mm-hmm. it's mind blowing, bro. And it's an amazing opportunity that we have to step into this, but at the same time, it comes at a huge cost, because just as anybody else who preaches the gospel, we will be held to that same thing, I believe, because when we create things, when we write things, when we release things to give glory to God, we're going to be held accountable to those things. So if you're writing music about God, I mean, it better be biblically sound, you know, right. No different if you're preaching the gospel, or if you're preaching on a pulpit, you know, and you're preaching for an hour long. I believe we're going to be held to a very high standard because we're sharing the gospel to a multitude of people where we don't even have to be in the same room with them, you know?
Absolutely.
So
absolutely.
Within that, what is your expectation, you personally? Because I believe we as believers in Christ, we're allowed to have an expectation for other fellow creatives to hold accountability, if that makes sense. So yeah. Where would you say your expectation is for this new wave of Christian artists?
My expectation would be that we would be people who understand that our responsibility is to first bring glory to God, and second, to bring, I would say language-wise, I would say exposure and understanding to the dark hidden places of scripture. I think that there is a, ironically, we have more access to the Bible today
than ever
than any other period of history, but it's the least read, it's the least looked at.
Yeah, the most printed, the most sold, but the least read. I mean, come on.
Yeah. And so for me, that clearly for me defines my mission. My mission is to take these written words that are life-changing and that, you know, contain the history and the breath of God within them, and to ooze them into whatever my artistic means are, and feed that into culture in a way that they can digest it. Mm-hmm. So I think that my expectation is that artists will do that. But in order for them to do that, it means they have to have a relationship with the Word of God. They have to know the Word and understand the Word. And I think that that is kind of where we're falling flat now. We've got a bunch of people who are artistically gifted, musically gifted, and they think that's enough. They think that that qualifies them as ready to be an ambassador for the Word of God. And the scary thing is that, you know, when it talks about in the parable about the seed that is scattered on different types of soil. And, you know, I believe we have a lot of artists who they haven't had the Word prune and become embedded in their heart in a way that when the storms come, which naturally the industry throws storms at you, especially with you equipping yourself as a leader and kind of identifying yourself and saying, hey, I'm a bearer of the gospel. I'm standing out here as a musician representing Christ. There, without the Word, you have no root to ground you against whatever doctrine, against whatever trials, against whatever ideas come at you in this artistic world, because the artistic world is full of more ideas than any other field, you know?
Yeah. And you'll just be pushed and swayed by the wind, right? Like this says in scripture.
And they are. And that's what's so scary about it is it's, I'm seeing right before my eyes, I feel like a generation of artists that move with whatever culture says is cool and trendy.
Yeah. Yeah.
And you can always look and recognize immediately an artist that is grounded on number one, who they are in God. Mm. And so they stand strong and they create the culture. Like they're not afraid to say, oh, everybody's playing trap, but you know what? I'm gonna do folk because I know who God has made me to be, and I know that I can do this for Him and be bold, and I don't have to worry about fitting in. But when you see an artist that isn't grounded in the Word, isn't grounded in their identity in Christ, and honestly just doesn't really know, and you know, doesn't have the love for Him, you can see it in the way that they do their art and the way that they make shallow, quick decisions. Mm. And so my expectation is that we'll be a group of Christians known first by our love, I would say, and then secondly by our ability to take risk. I believe Jesus set an expectation that we would take risk, that we would be risk takers in His name.
Amen.
And that's what He gave us the Holy Spirit for, to give us bounds for those risks. Like He's like, hey, go out here and do, you know, greater things than me, like do these amazing things. And the Holy Spirit will guide you and lead you on what that looks like. But do great things. And I think that we're doing great things, but we're doing great things without the Spirit.
Mm. Which I believe really trickles down back to the unfortunate reality that a tremendous amount of churches, and I guess I have a very hard time using the word church today. Because of the lack of spirit-led authority that should take place within the body of Christ. All right, so I will say this. I will call the body of Christ, which is what the church truly should be. And when I say church, I mean the institutionalized church, okay? Based on everything you mentioned, bro, I 1,000% agree, man. And it really does come back to the point of, are you in relationship with Christ? You know, and the only way you can truly walk in this life and do the things you've been called to do is if you've obeyed Christ's commands. And for you to fulfill righteousness, you need to repent, you need to get baptized, and you need the Holy Spirit. You're not going to do this on your own. This is ridiculous. You can't just, you know, get in the water and be like, all right, cool. I'm ready now. I'm ready to fight now. Like, this is a war. We're in a war. Like, you're born into a war. And when I picture everything you mentioned, bro, the big reason why we have so many artists that are unfortunately not allowing God to lead them is because they have not been led to learn to be led by God, because they have very little, I can't say none, they have very little example of that in their lives. Because exactly. You can be raised in the church, you know, all your life, and you could be a pastor's kid, you could be whatever. You could be so saturated with church community that it's crazy. But if you are not born again, you cannot fight this war.
Absolutely.
And I've just been writing a track recently. It's titled Pick a Side. Mm. And it's crazy that you mentioned earlier about like kind of revealing the even the dark secrets of the Bible. I believe there's a lack, and maybe this is just for me, but I believe there's a slight lack in us exposing the evil world. I believe there's a tremendous amount of music that glorifies Jesus and is very like worship filled music, which is awesome. You know, well, also the church has kind of branded worship music as a certain style, you know, it has to be like ambient, kind of like alternative rock, folky type of music, you know, for guys like you and myself, well, I just recently started rapping, but for a guy like yourself, they don't consider rap as necessarily worship, you know,
right.
But that's,
which
that's
is false, because I've had some songs, dude, that, you know, after the record is off, hands are still raised, people are still singing them, and it's the same. It's like, this is what, you know, this is what you'll do when Hillsong is on. Mm. And during the writing of that song, that's how I envisioned it. Like, I feel like me particularly, I write songs with the mindset of how they will be in a live atmosphere, because I get excited about the idea of being able to share my music corporately with people, because I feel like music has an experience in your own listening time, but also when you're in the fellowship of community and with other believers, there's a different feel as well. Yeah. And so I 100% agree with that. And I'm very big on us not boxing in worship, especially something as precious as worship.
Yeah.
I'm boxing in it to a certain sound or feel, because to me, that's very close to sensationalism, which is this,
that's good.
You know, this notion that if I don't feel God in a particular way, then he's not there. Mm. And for me, I'm very big on, one of the big things I do is I remind myself that God is, you know, potentially even more present in my prayer time, in the moments when I don't feel anything special at all, because that's what faith is.
Mm-hmm. It's, come on.
It's me sitting there saying, okay, you know, I don't have the emotional response that I had two nights ago when I prayed and poured my heart out to God and felt him with goosebumps on my body. But right now, I know he's very present with me in this moment as well. And it's still quiet, normal, and I still hear the sirens outside my room. Like those moments, you know, so I'm very big on not boxing in worship music to a particular sound and style, just like you said.
Yeah, because worship, the ultimate form of worship, as Paul mentioned, I don't know if it's in the book of Acts, I forgot which book letter it's in, but the ultimate form of worship is sacrificing your body, you know,
yeah,
not necessarily killing yourself, you know, but like sacrificing your entire being to God.
Heart and, posture.
Yeah, and it doesn't have to do even anything with music. You get what I'm saying? Like, there are people who aren't musically inclined whatsoever, can't sing a note, you know, tone deaf for their life, but doesn't mean they can't worship. You know what I'm saying? And so I believe that's something that a lot of people need to be broken free of, you know, and they'll be like, oh, I don't really like worshiping because I can't sing or I can't do this. Well, then,
which is scary, because if you can't worship God without music, then you've now connected your worship to a particular thing, which is very dangerous.
Yeah, and then it creates a disconnect.
A disconnect, and I would say that's how idols form, is because now I can't. You've made a medium that you need in order to get to God.
Wow!
You created a thing that is that your intimacy with God is contingent upon. My intimacy with God is contingent upon having music. What if you're in a context, what if you were in a place where there was no music at all? Now, are you saying I can't worship? Yeah. Are you now saying,
like, what if music's illegal?
Right.
You know, oh, well, then I just can't worship God. Man, that's good, bro. I never thought of it like that. Praise God. You know what, man? It's really spoke to me because these last few weeks I've been really feeling a disconnect with the Lord. And it had a lot to do with my lack of intimacy. I mean, actually had everything to do with my lack of intimacy. And, you know, times where I'd stumble and, you know, just have shame overtake me where I would stop myself from being with the Lord because I felt, God, I'm not even worthy of being with you. Like, I'm not even worthy to talk to you. Why would I bother? You know? Yeah. And I believe everybody experiences that, man. And I was just at this point where I'm just like, yo, I haven't felt the presence of God in a while. This is horrible. And God's been tugging on my heart to fast for quite some time, man. And I've always like avoided it, mainly because, yeah, it's brutally difficult. but it's props to you for fasting with your wife for that album, man. That's huge, bro. I'm very encouraged to hear that. But within, you know, what God was tugging on my heart, I'm just like, man, I wanna do this, Lord. But God, I wanna know how you want me to do it. Like, I wanna know, I wanna have an end goal. I wanna have a specific way how to do this, you know? Yep. And not long ago, actually, was it a few days ago, I decided, I'm like, you know, I'm just gonna fast. And I'm gonna fast. It's just gonna, like, I'm just gonna drink water. I'm just gonna fast until I've experienced the presence of God.
Mm.
You know? And I've never done that, bro. I've never said, I'm gonna wait till I get my spiritual food before I get my physical food. I've never done that. And it was revealed to me that it was very much so a act of desperation because I needed it. You know, I needed this food. I needed this fuel to keep. I couldn't even get in the studio. I'm just like, what's the point of me even creating? Like, I'm not even with the Lord. What am I going to be doing in the studio? Just going to be making beats out of my flesh, you know?
And the fact that you're aware of that is key.
Amen. Amen. And so just real quick, bro, what happened was I decided, okay, I'm not going to eat. Just me and my wife, I have the opportunity to spend majority of my time with my wife in the morning and we get in the Word together and we just talk. And truly, it's such a blessing to have a best friend as my wife. And there came a point where I'm like, you know what? I just need to like just worship God. And so I just put on a mix for all of you guys listening. I don't know if you've ever heard of the Good Christian Music blog on YouTube. Man, I've just been tremendously encouraged by all the music that's on there. And there's a mix called, it's like their first worship mix. It's got these green leaves on the cover. I forget exactly the name of it, but it's like worship mix, quiet worship mix, volume one, something like that. And bro, I just like turned it on. I've literally listened to this thing over 200 times over the last few months. And I'm listening, bro. And this song comes on that's not in the mix. And I'm like, what is it? And I didn't bother checking because I'm just like, oh, I'm not going to, whatever. Yeah. And I forget the name of the song right now. It would be awesome to plug it in. But anyway, the lyrics in the song, bro, were exactly what I needed to tell the Lord. And It wasn't in the mix, bro. And I'm just like, what is happening? Anyway, I just submitted to just listening and bro, I broke down. I just started weeping because it was the exact things I needed to tell the Lord because somebody else was in this place prior to my experience and had collected these words, put them on paper, recorded them, made a beat, released it. Not made a beat, but made a track, released it so that other people that find themselves in the same place can find freedom when they're in that position. And bro, I just started weeping, man. And I just, the presence of God came over me so crazy. And I'm just like, wow, Lord, you are so faithful, man. And I'm just like, all right, God, well, now what? You know, I thought you were going to like hold out on me a few days where I'm not going to be able to eat. And Holy Spirit just revealed to me clear as day. He's like, the way you pursued me today, I want you to pursue me every day. I want you to pursue me over food every day. And going back to what you said is, oh, well, I didn't feel God like I felt him the other last 2 days. What God revealed to me was I actually haven't It's not the case that I wasn't experiencing his presence. I was actually taking for granted the peace that I've been experiencing for so long and calling it not his presence.
Wow. Sheesh.
And I was just so like, good. Wow, Lord, you have been here this whole time. You have been faithful. You stayed true to your word, you know? And yep. And it was so now my daily thing now is, I mean, I don't know how long, I probably got to do this for the rest of my life. So no more early breakfast for me. but bro, it's just been like, all right, Lord, I'm going to spend time with you. I'm getting your word and I want to worship you. I want to get in prayer all before I start my day, all before I start eating, just to make sure that I'm on the right page, you know?
Yep.
So I just want to add to what you said, bro, because it's crazy, man. Like, worship is such a vital part of what we're doing. And if it's not fully ingrained in what we're doing, then man,
it's necessary, dude.
What we're even wasting our time on.
Yep.
Crazy. So like, at what point did you personally decide to submit to God's prompting for you to pursue music, man? I mean, you say you've been doing it for a really long time. Yeah. I do believe there are people out there listening who have been doing music for a long time. So kind of just encouragement to everybody else. What kind of prompted you? When did you know, hey, I'm doing this for Jesus?
I was blessed to have a really healthy childhood, church, family, life experience, like all welled into one. My mom was a rapper. And
kidding. That's so dope.
Yeah.
She wow.
was a hip-hop artist, dude. And she was a hip-hop artist in the 80s, and she was touring and traveling and, you know, releasing records and everything. She was doing regular rap. She was rapping about what she knew, street rap. She was kind of like one of the female gangster rappers. Like, she'd bash men, she'd talk about life in the streets and all this kind of stuff. Fast forward, my mom gets saved, and of course, when she got saved, her heart changed. Therefore, because she was a very honest artist in general and she was rapping her heart already, when her heart changed, her music changed. Wow. So me experiencing that change right in front of me and her being one of my, you know, inspirations and people that I was looking up to because she was my mom and I lived in a house with her and I'd watch her write lyrics and, you know, watch her practice for her performances in the living room. I, from a young age, was inspired seeing that, wow, just like that, her love for God is infused in her music because she can't separate it. There's no separation. There's no way she could do music and not talk about who he is and what he's done. So for me, my prompting to do it for God and submit my music to him started when I began music because that was all I had ever seen. And she ended up later on the line giving up her career to just kind of support me because she was like, man, I feel like everything I've done in the industry and learned was so that I could support you in the ways that I wasn't supported and just be able to kind of guide you. Wow. So from the beginning of my journey, I've been blessed from, like I say, when I tell people I started rapping at 8 years old, I dropped my first album at 11.
Wow.
So in those times I was doing shows and everything all around Atlanta, like performing at big places. Doors were just kind of already opened for me just through some of the opportunities she built before she quit. Wow. And I started out with this understanding from a very young age, which I feel like is a straight blessing because people try to say, and people would always even tell me this, like I'd be on stage proclaiming who God was at, you know, 10, 11 years old. And people would still say things like, you know, you don't really understand who God is yet. You're young. And for me, that wasn't true. While I do believe there were a lot of people that were my age who didn't understand fully what they were declaring and proclaiming, yeah. I wasn't that kid. I was very sharp. I was very smart. And I understood fully like who Jesus was, what he had done for me. And I believed it with all my heart. And it made me have a certain confidence and a certain urgency to put that in my music. And I go back and listen to songs that I made back then where my voice is still pre-puberty. You know, I was rapping on all my own beats at the time. That was when I was producing everything that I rapped on. And my lyrics are just as sharp as they are now, which I think is crazy to say because that's how I know it was only God. I don't think that, you know, I don't think that our giftings are necessarily just the gift itself. I think that when you have the Holy Spirit infused in your art, he gives you a different level of skill that the world, no matter how hard they practice, can never attain until they get connected with him. So I listen to some of those old verses and I'm like, and I consider all the time reusing those or re-releasing those or incorporating them into what I'm doing now, because everything I was saying then that was true then is still true now, because the gospel doesn't change. So, for me, man, I followed his prompting at a young age, and that's just kind of been my story ever since.
Awesome, bro. I love that you said, you know, the message hasn't changed. And I've mentioned this to some people before, is like, man, when you can base your foundation on the truth, no matter at what point in time in history, what language it's translated in, no matter who it's said by, it's still going to be relevant.
It's relevant. It's like, beautiful. Only thing different are the beats. Like, what I was rapping on and producing back then sounds completely worlds different than what we'll be hearing now. But the verse, I could speed the verse up in a different tempo and keep the exact same words, and people will still be like, that verse is real. Mm. And that's how the power of the gospel. Like, we're reading a Bible that no matter how far away we get, no matter how crazy we get, no matter how technologically infused we get, every word will still ring true. Mm. And there's comfort in that for the Christian who banks their life, lyrics, and, you know, worldview on those words.
Amen. Yo, I've never done this. I've never asked anyone of this. How do you feel about, do you have any pieces that you would love to share on the podcast? Nothing crazy long, maybe something that's been on your heart recently that God's prompted you to write. Would you be interested in maybe dropping a verse around, bro? Is that too much to ask? No stress if it's too much, man.
Nah, I'm gonna do it. Let me ask me something else as I run through some of my notes real quick.
Yeah, you got it. So I believe as artists, we have been exposed to a tremendous amount of lies that the enemy has darted at us. I mean, over and over and over. Not even artists, man. Everybody is under attack at all times. And it is until you have the armor of God to be able to defend your sanity against these lies, that you will be able to find freedom. And so if I could ask you, bro, what is the... It doesn't have to be a hugely long explanation, but I believe we've all struggled with maybe a specific lie that's been planted on us. So what would you say is the biggest lie you've been deceived by in your lifetime that you accepted as true, but once you came to Christ, he revealed to it that it's not true and you've been set free from that? Anything maybe specific that comes to mind?
Yeah. I think the big one for me, man, is for a long time, I didn't know where I sat in the financial conversation about being a Christian. So I believed this idea that as a Christian and a follower of Jesus, you were supposed to be poor and you were supposed to be, any type of blessing that came your way, you were supposed to give it away to give it away to someone else, give it away to the least fortunate, and that you were supposed to live completely poor and with nothing because that was the way of Christ. Mm-hmm. And it was a guilt that kind of made me feel, I was torn because I didn't believe it in my spirit as correct, but there were so many people around me that would try to make me feel bad because part of hip hop culture, and I think, probably Western culture as well, just being, living in the States in general and being a wealthy nation is, but I'll say particularly hip hop because that was my world. Mm. Hip hop is really big on the flashy things, being fresh. And I still to this day feel like, and this is another controversial thing, but I feel like there's nothing wrong with the flashy and confidence of hip hop being in Christian hip hop, as long as it's rooted in God. But I feel like that's part of the style of it that makes it hit for me. Like I love seeing an artist that will wear something super fresh and fly, but also be grounded in the truth, because I feel like that's part of the culture. Like that's just one of those things. I'm like, I don't want to see no rapper who's not stylish and not confident rapping, because hip hop was really built on, I'm nice, I know I'm nice, and I'm gonna present myself as nice. Out of that confidence, you had something to say as well. So for me, it was this clash of cultures, because I'm following a faith that's telling me that you can't have any material things, you can't wish for any material wealth, because everything is supposed to go to, everything that you have is supposed to be given away, and you're not supposed to have anything nice for yourself. Yet I was growing up in a world of hip hop, which was, you know, I want to be fresh, I want to have it all, I want to. And so for me, one of the ways that God dismantled that truth that at that time was my truth was by, you know, in James, he talks about faith without works is dead. And he talks about how, you know, if you say you love Jesus, but you don't, you know, give someone who's hungry food to eat, then your faith is a lie because you have no works. And a lot of times people misunderstand that scripture, and they'll only use it in the sense of trying to say, oh, my faith without works actually means that if I'm praying for something, I have to go get it myself, which is completely false. That's not even what he was saying in James. He was actually talking about our spiritual reality has a physical reality, which means if I proclaim that I love Jesus, you should be able to see it through how I love my neighbors. You should see that. And so with that connection, it allowed me to realize that I can't change the world without having resources, but I can't allow these resources to have my heart and have my allegiance to the point where they are my Lord and they are the thing that keeps me from God, because the love of money is the root of all evil. Not money is the root of all evil, but the love of it. And so I feel like God was detoxing me in a way where he was showing me that the Christian who is afraid to pray for more blessings doesn't understand what his blessings are for. Because when a Christian understands that he can't effectively help and show the love of Christ in a physical sense unless he has money, unless he has things, then his view of money will be submitted to the Lordship of Jesus, which means, Lord, you pray like this. Lord, you've given me a burden for the poor and the hungry and the homeless around me, and there is nothing in my hand that I can give them. And so I need you to increase me in your faithfulness so that I can bless the people that you have called me to bless, who you've placed around me. And then you don't be afraid when the Lord gives you those things, because you know what they're for, and you look with the excitement to be a distribution center for those around you. And I had to stop being guilty and letting other people make me feel guilty for things I had and prayers that I had, and just keeping that all in balance under the Lordship of God. So I think that was one of the biggest things that was a lie for me for the longest time, was this poverty gospel. And the balance is sitting right between, you know, the prosperity gospel is not true, the poverty gospel is not true. The middle between both of those, which is whatever God gives me belongs to him, and he's the one who dictates where they go. But I'm also not afraid of riches. I'm afraid of the love of them. And when you keep that perspective in mind, you become a person who appreciates the gifts God gives you, and he will give you more because he knows that he can trust you with how to use those things. And he also knows that as you continue to submit yourself to him and love him and pursue him, he can trust you with more because he knows that those things won't rule over your life. So that was a big one for me, man.
That's good, bro. That's real good. Hallelujah. Freedom for everybody listening, man, that's struggling with finances and stuff like that, or struggling with the perspective of having an abundance of finances, man. We're called to have an abundance, man, so that we can disperse it well. That's good, bro. Praise God.
I'm trying to find a verse, man.
No worries, bro. if you don't have something that you want to share right now, my bad for putting on your spot. I just felt the need to ask you. Maybe it's something you've even done before already.
Well,
anything new.
I'm in a season right now. What the Lord is doing in my life right now is he's revealing to me the connection of emotional honesty mm-hmm. and intimacy with Jesus, which is something men particularly struggle with,
okay.
is being honest with our emotions. David, King David was one of the most emotionally honest men there ever was. The Psalms, we see that when he was angry, he was angry. When he was sad, he was sad.
Yeah.
And there's not a coincidence that God called him a man after his own heart. And I believe that a lot of the things that I've been writing lately have been me just expressing my anger and frustration and not being afraid to take that to God, because in knowing his love and in knowing his grace, you know that he provides you a safe place to take all of your emotions to, no matter how scary and dark they may be, but that when you take them to him, he gives you an exchange for them that is so much more beautiful and so much more healthy. Mm. So I would say the thing that, with not having a verse readily in mind to share, what I would say is that a lot of the risk for anyone who's heard Washing Our Feet and had questions about why there was curse words on there or there was some vulgar language in this place. Number one, with the 40-day fast that me and my now wife were doing, the album that we recorded was completely different than the album that came out. We had beeps and blurps and it was nothing was going to be said. But also in wrestling with knowing that during the dark moments of our life where we're not saying things the way that we naturally would say them when we're thinking clearly, the Lord has provided a safe place for us to take that to. And the problem is a lot of us take our anger and our heavily emotional moments not to God. And so I wanted to show vulnerability in the sense that in the only two places, there's only two curse words on my album, which a lot of people have had problems with. But and the Lord has even told me not to defend myself on it. And so whenever people ask me about it, I don't say much. But in talking about emotional honesty, this particular concept of in the album, you hear me in a prayer say a curse word. I'm talking to God Almighty, who welcomes me to throw all of my garbage and darkness on him. And in that exchange, he gives me his beauty and his love and his holiness. Mm-hmm. But it only comes from me being honest with where I am. I displayed that in the album. And then the other one was displayed in an honest conversation with my spouse, with a conflict. And so I think what I want to leave people with is this understanding that we are renewed and charged in healthy community and in taking our emotions to God.
That's good,
and,
bro.
And from us doing those things, man, we'll always be in a position where we can get the gift that comes from our negative emotions, which is, you know, the gift of anger is passion. Mm. You know, any negative emotion that we take to God, or neutral emotion, I'll say, when we take it to him, he gives us a gift in exchange. So that's one thing I'll say about that.
That's good, bro. Yeah, I appreciate you sharing that, man, because I feel like a lot of people will think that they need to really gloss things up and polish them, you know what I'm saying? And make them seem like, make you appear perfect, if that makes sense. We're still a work in progress. You know what I mean? My desire is to be just like Christ. I hope to be like Christ. I hope to be without sin. My goal is to do that. However, there's still a process that's taking place, you know, and there's no point fooling other people. And I believe there is a lack of vulnerability that isn't taking place with, not, I'm not saying it's not out there, but I do believe more people are called to share such things and just be like, yo, that's just where I was at. And I want you to understand that, because there's a way where I can not necessarily appeal, but connect with people who are not connected with the Lord and kind of resonate with someone's like, yo, yeah, I feel that too, man. Yeah, for real. I had a similar thing, bro. I did a spoken word album last year and I did four videos of the pieces out of the whole like 8-piece album that I did. Mm-hmm. And one of them was, one of the lines was me talking about like, how much longer am I going to keep, you know, struggling with my pursuit of my pleasure. And yeah, my, a big thing that I struggle with for like about 8.5-9 years, bro, is smoking weed, bro. Like I smoke bud every day for almost 9 years, man. Like,
yeah,
all the time, like all day long, I'd be smoking Kush, man. And in the video, I'm like, yo, catch a video of me smoking a joint downtown. And it's in the video, man. If anybody hops on, like, you'll see that, you know?
Yeah.
Nobody really caught that because not many really people watch my stuff. But but within that, I just wanted to be like, this is what I'm talking about. Like, this is just where I'm at. For some reason, I'm not able to throw this thing. For some reason, I'm struggling with this thing. And I just need you guys to see that, you know? Thankfully,
the honesty, bro.
Yeah, thankfully, this January, God relieved me of my desire to smoke bud, bro. So I've been actually free of weed for the last almost, June will be a full 5 months, man. Glory to God. It's been amazing.
Wow, man. Blessings on that, dude. I salute anybody big time for just shaking that, man, because I think that's one of the common things for just, you know,
even musicians, you know, like just this culture we're in, you know,
it's just this culture thing. And even there's even a lot of Christians, man, who, you know, will take up the perception now and make excuses for it. And it's really just the excuse. And I mean, I was under the excuse at the time when I was a smoker, like is at the end of the day, we make the excuse because it's always harder to deny your flesh, and anything that we make an excuse for is just because we don't want to submit it to the Lord. And so me, man, and knowing that journey personally, but then also having still people that I'm walking with through that journey, I'm always quick to celebrate anybody I know who's breaking free, dude. So I salute you, man, big time. Hey, and
it's all for His glory, bro. I did not do it alone. Not do it alone, man. This was, and mind you, I still struggle with things, you know, like,
yeah,
unfortunately I'll have one too many drinks, you know, and I'll find myself like, why am I like tipsy right now? Like, why am I drunk? Like, this isn't what I want. This isn't what God wants for me, you know? But somehow you sometimes get caught up in a celebration or influence or, you know, peer pressure, this, and you're just like, oh man, Father, I'm sorry. Like, this, I know this isn't what you want for me, you know?
Yeah.
But having the vulnerability that you need to have with Christ to say, hey, God, man, I messed up, dude. I repent.
Because He already knows, but there's power in saying it and taking it to Him. Like,
it's freedom.
I think the things that we stay in bondage to the longest are because we hide behind the idea that God already knows.
That's good.
When He's like, yeah, I know, but I want you to give it to me. Like, I want that burden that you're holding, I want you to actually physically hand it to me.
Amen.
And we can't do that until we're actually honest and speak it and say it to Him. And
that's right.
And
that's
so,
right.
Yeah, man.
And the beauty within you experiencing shame, which might sound contradictory, but the beauty in you experiencing shame when you sin against God is God is speaking to you. You know, the Holy Spirit is convicting you.
Yeah.
You know you're doing something wrong. It is when you don't feel conviction, that's when you should be worried. When you don't feel convicted about doing this or about doing whatever you might be struggling with, man, if you don't feel conviction about it, man, you really got to pray about this stuff. You know, if you know something's wrong, but you don't feel like it's wrong, then ultimately we shouldn't be relying on our feelings, right? That is
absolutely
probably the most dangerous path to go down. And
absolutely,
we need to be led by God with this stuff, man. Hallelujah. Yeah. Praise God. Yo, so for each podcast, I always have each guest share an encouragement with the listeners. And I've been really, this is one of my favorite parts of the podcast. And so to add some more spunk to the question, if it, let's say today was your last day on earth, right? And for some reason you were going to die and you wanted to share 60 seconds or less an encouragement with fellow artists that are pursuing a creative lifestyle, what would you like to share?
Let me know when the 60 seconds starts. I'm ready.
And go.
If I had to tell the world one thing before I die, I would tell them to make sure they die empty. I would say, make sure that you die not feeling like you should have said more, less, making sure that you've said everything that the Lord told you to say, and not being afraid to take risk, because I believe at the end of the day, we're all going to have moments where we're afraid to do something. But I think that our prayer should be, Lord, if I'm incorrect, if I'm wrong, let it not hinder your work. And I pray that you will use everything that I've done for your glory and for your fame. And so I would just say, man, die empty. Make sure that you say everything the Lord has deposited in you. Teach the world the things that you wish you would have known earlier. And just make sure that you take risk, because the world is going to recognize us by our love, and they're going to be inspired by our risk.
Hallelujah, bro. That was fire. Beautifully said.
Appreciate that.
Wow. Die empty. That really blessed me, man. Thank you. Hallelujah.
They say the richest place is the grave, man.
Hey, you are right. You are right. Where things are left unsaid, undone, unfinished, right? Dreams not lived. That's right, bro.
I do not want that.
That's right, man. You better go out guns blazing, because that's how we are to live every day, right?
That's how we are, man.
Yeah, man. Awesome. So to kind of go jump off of that, what is something you've maybe seen artists do that you would discourage them from doing?
Big thing I've seen artists do that I would discourage them from doing is people pleasing. Mm-hmm. I think a lot of artists are very busy trying to make everybody happy, and they end up disappointed themselves. They won't say it, they won't share it, but I can sit here and say that I've never released a project that I regret. And I think that the only reason I can say that is because every project, I really made sure that I was doing what God wanted me to do, and I was doing it in the style that He gave me. And whenever you do that, you'll look back on your projects and you might be like, man, I've grown, but you'll never regret it. And so I would just challenge artists, man, to stop trying to people please, stop trying to make the music that people want you to make or that you feel your city or your town wants, and instead give them the music, the art, the perspective that they need.
Praise God. That's beautiful, bro. Well said. Well said. Yo, I don't want to cut into too much of your afternoon today, man. I've been really, really enjoying talking to you. Roughly, like how many more minutes you think you got?
We could do probably like 10 more.
You sure?
10 more minutes. Yeah.
Okay, bro. Praise God. Because it's so crazy, man. So for those of you guys listening, when I go about, you know, having a guest on, I do take the time to put together some questions that I believe will help unpackage things that you guys will be blessed by. And in a beautiful way, man, we barely hit any of these questions just out of the beauty of
just flowing
that conversation, man. And this is a prayer. So every time I have a guest on, we always pray before the session to make sure God is leading it. And this has really been a treat, man. Thank you so much for your time and just your willingness.
Man, thank you, bro, for sure.
It's beautiful. This is beautiful. And so, all right, so you've been doing this for a while now, right? Do you have maybe two or three artists that you've been inspired by or that you really enjoy that you would love to share with fellow creatives who are listening that you think, hey, you guys should check these guys out or girls? Some people that you found encouragement through.
At the moment, man, this is a hard question for me.
I'm so sorry.
what's so crazy is I prefer deep philosophical questions over questions like these. And these are the ones that I think most people would say are easier, but I think I'm very, very picky with music.
You got it.
But
it doesn't have to even have to be a musician, bro. It could be a graphic artist. It could be a videographer. It could be anyone creative. So let me rephrase it. Who are three creatives that you would love to just kind of let people know? Maybe that'll get some pressure off you. You being a musician yourself, kind of just open up the sphere to creativity as a whole.
Okay. So there's an upcoming actor, a guy named Elisha Lawson. He's been on a couple TV shows on, you know, like the CW network, Fox. Like he's upcoming. He's
cool.
But Christian creative, Christian actor, and he also does his own playwrights and
wow.
things. And what he does is, you know, there's nothing new under the sun, but what he does is he takes biblical concepts and biblical stories and tells them in such a modern, dope, like acting theater way that's just incredible. So I would definitely encourage people to look him up.
What is his name again? You said Elisha?
Elisha Lawson.
Elisha.
Awesome. That's a good friend of mine. He's a dope dude. Another dude I'm gonna say, he's popping right now, man, but I gotta shout him out. Montel Fish, I think is incredible.
Yeah, yeah.
I think he's incredible. Me and him are working on something.
Oh, I'm so happy to hear that. Praise God.
He's a good dude, man. He loves the Lord. It's just oozing through his music, through his aesthetics, even the colors that he uses when he does his graphics and photography. He's just a lover of God, and he just really is a worshiper.
Mm.
So I love shouting him out. And then the other dude, I would say, man, I cannot forget my boy Nivelle Heist. I also wanted to keep this list of people that I knew because I feel like I just think that's, you know, we a lot of times we go to the lofty people that we see, which there's absolutely nothing wrong with that. But I feel like I've been blessed to have some people around me that I would love for them to get recognition and shine for the amazing love they have for God and for their art. So my boy Nivelle Heist, man, I think he's one of the best rappers I've ever seen in my life, ever had the pleasure of hearing. He is straight out of Chester, Pennsylvania, but he lives in Atlanta now, and that's where we met. He's a father, a husband, and just an amazing rapper. So him being from like the Chester, Philly area, he's got that, you know, battle rap, grungy, real street edge. So, you know, he was in the class, like, if anybody knows about, like, the time when he came up, he wasn't always doing Christian music, but he started out real big on the battle scene. So it was like him and Meek were, like, the two dudes out of PA that anybody was checking for. Like, he was in that caliber. And then he did his run on like 106 in Park for like the Freestyle Fridays. And he's also done some stuff on the battle rap scene, but he just loves God, man, changed his life. And he can go bar for bar with anybody. He will rap, you know, this dude can, you can throw a beat on and this dude will rap for about, you know, 10 minutes and not miss a beat. And he's just that crazy. So he's one of my favorite dudes. I'm honored to know that, man. He loves the Lord. He sacrifices for God and his family. And so Nivelle Heist, man, is a dude that I would just love for the world to check him out and know who he is.
Praise God. That's awesome, bro. I'm excited to check him out later. Very cool.
For sure. For sure.
Very cool. So you did kind of give a slight sneak peek that you are working on things. What are some what other upcoming projects or just any slight information on what things people can expect? Maybe any release dates or artists you're working with?
Yeah.
Any sneak peeks?
So I am at the moment, you know, it's only been 2.5 months since I've dropped Washing Our Feet. So I'm riding the promo wave for that. Heavy right now. Just really wanted to make sure that people get everything that I feel like the Lord has for them in that album. A lot of things about commitment, marriage, culture, sex. But in the meantime, I am recording heavily because I always like to give some, being from Atlanta, some heavy turn up, just fun concert, jump, get hype music before the summer ends. So all I can say is before the weather starts getting cool, I plan to give people something that they can really bounce to. And so I'll leave it at that.
Awesome. Perfect, bro. And so aside that, what are some aspirations as an artist, you personally, that you have for the next few years?
So for the next few years, I really want to get into mentoring. I think that hip hop is the culture where everybody waits until they're on their decline to start trying to pour into the next artist. And I think it would look very different if artists who felt like they were really at a sharp place in their penmanship and in their creative prowess to look and see the need to find another young artist and to pour into them everything they know and to help sharpen their writing skills and help sharpen their ear for music. So that way when we're done and when we're retired and moving on to other things, there's not a gap and there's not a big flux, which I feel like, especially in Christian music, I feel like after a lot of some of our senior artists leave, we go through this shaky period of where we're trying to figure out who's next, who's going to carry the mantle, who's going to keep the lyrics alive and the production value. And so I really want to, you know, start mentoring probably within the next year, year and a half. So that way I can at least have some people, and I want more than one. I want to have some people that as I'm easing my way out the game and feel like I've kind of emptied my shell of everything that the Lord has given me to talk about, that I've got some young guys and girls who are just on fire for God and just ready to just empty the clip with everything that God has put inside of their heart and who just have a little guidance from somebody who's made some mistakes along the way and just can kind of steer them in the right direction. So that's kind of what I'm thinking.
Praise God. Awesome, man. And so for you guys listening, man, this is something so, so vital. And this is something biblical, even within that, is we need to be discipling people, man. And yeah. If you've been blessed with a gift, if you've been blessed with the ability to create in whichever way God has blessed you with, man, pour into people. You know, like what do you got to lose? You know, the need for us to invest our time into others is so, so vital. And the time that you invest into them allows them to save time and not make the same mistakes that you might have had to gone through, you know?
Yep.
And I mean, I look at, so I use Machine, for example, to produce Machina to produce music. The company that creates this called Native Instruments. And bro, me and my buddy, Brian, we started learning how to do this thing. Dude, it took us like maybe 2-3 years just to be able to wrap our mind around this stuff because we had no other people around us doing this stuff, you know? Yeah. And then I think to myself, man, how much faster it would have been if you just had somebody show you, you know, instead of trying to figure it out on tutorials and do this. And it's just like, oh my gosh, well, you can just ask questions right on the spot, you know? So definitely, yep. I'm excited to hear that from you, bro. I pray that God just leads you 100% into that. And so that he can bless this next generation of creators that is already in the works.
Yeah,
because we need it, bro. We need it.
Because I would have loved that for myself, you know. Yeah. I to have been able to reach out, and I think it was probably easier then because it wasn't the sense of like. I just think it was easier then for me to have reached out to somebody and have them kind of pour into me and take me under their wing. I had it in a small sense, and I think that's why I'm passionate about it now, but not to the degree that I see that it should be utilized, especially in the Christian world. So
cool, man. Yeah. Praise God. Well, bro, this has been a treat. Thank you so much for your time, man. Yo, every episode I have been getting into the habit of praying us out. If you would be so kind to, bro, I'll pray for you and your wife and everything you're doing, man. But if you'd be so kind as to just pray for the listeners, man, and just pour some spiritual wisdom on them as they
for sure
on their day.
For sure. Cool. So I'll pray and then you close
yeah,
it out.
Yeah, bro, you go ahead and you pray and I'll close it out. Yeah.
Cool. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you for your sovereignty. I thank you that there is no one greater than you. I thank you that when you speak, we hear your words and we echo your word throughout eternity. I pray, Jesus, that we will feel called. I pray that we will feel ready. I pray that we will feel validated. I pray that any of our insecurities or things that have prevented us from being used by you, that we will remove those things. I pray, Jesus, that you will call us to yourself. I pray that we will give ourselves away so that you can use us in a powerful way that is greater than anything we could have planned for ourselves. I pray for the listeners, God, for any creative who's listening, who feels that yearning in their heart for them to get up and do something with the time that they've been given, with the talent that they have. I pray, Jesus, that you will be with them. I pray that you will meet them in their prayer time and in their preparation time and in their writing time and in their brainstorming sessions. And I pray that you will give them the capacity to dream greater than they've ever dreamed before.
Yes, Jesus.
Pray that you will just touch their work. Pray that everything that they make will prosper in your name and that you will be glorified and made famous and that this world will be able to see you for the loving, faithful God that you truly are. I pray that we see your holiness greater. Pray that we see our sin greater, but I pray that we see that we are covered by your blood. I thank you so much. Give us more faith. Thank you for this opportunity to speak, and you are faithful. We love you. Amen.
Hallelujah. Yes, God, I agree with everything that Saul said, Lord. I just ask you continue to just burden his heart even more and more to share the things that you've placed on him, Father. I just thank you for his wife. I thank you for the ministry that you've blessed him with, Father. I just ask for an abundance in just provision and ideas and opportunities and divine encounters and divine appointments that you have orchestrated for him. And his wife, Lord, just continue to push them into new avenues and outside of new boundaries. And I just ask that you continue to just press on him, Father. Thank you so much for his heart. Thank you for his willingness to just spend some time with us today. And just continue to bless him, Lord. I say all this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Hey guys, for all you listening, this podcast was brought to you by my book, One Day Closer to Being Who You've Created. Man, I always mess this up. One Day Closer to Becoming Who You've Been Created to Be. It is available on Amazon as an ebook as well as a printed paper copy. Yes. So if you'd like to just find out some more things as to maybe getting some more content to encourage you with, I do believe that's something that can add to your life. But other than that, Celis, this has been an honor, bro. Thank you so very much. And just your willingness to hang out with me via
thank you,
interweb.
Dude. Yeah, bro. I'm praise super God. Encouraged. This was amazing. I appreciate you so much.
All for his glory, man. I will talk to you very soon. And hey, guys, make sure you stay focused on the Lord and keep creating. God bless y'all.
God bless.
All right. Peace.
Peace.